live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist.
Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world.
Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful February weekend, wherever you happen to be. Let me tell you where we are. One of my favorite places. I've been coming here, I hate to say it, for over 35 years. An amazing place that was opened in 1924. But first, let me get the map coordinates for you. 56 degrees, 16 minutes north, 3 degrees, 43 minutes west. We're coming to you from the legendary Glen Eagles Hotel in Auchterarder, Scotland. And taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, I know you know what to do. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Peter S. Greenberg. And on Facebook, facebook.com/Peter Greenberg. I said I've been coming to this place for over three decades. I'm not kidding. Imagine a place over 850 acres. It's home to one of the world's most fantastic golfers or golf courses as well. But it also has amazing grounds to walk, to think. How about this? Falconry. A little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about that. An amazing school of falconry. But when I first came here, I fell in love with something else, the over and under. You know what that is? No, it's not betting in football. It's a type of shotgun, an over and under. And what is it used for? The sport of shooting sporting clays. And in fact, the Jackie Stewart school of sporting clays. People think of Jackie Stewart as just a race car driver. No, he was an Olympian marksman in sporting clays. And even though my shoulder hurt for 2 weeks after that, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. It was amazing. And then later on, they even have a Land Rover driving school here where they put you on realistic, tough terrain to see how you recover and try not to roll the car. Another great thrill ride, but guess who's in control? You are. And, of course, we talked about the golf. Again, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. It's about an hour, by the way, outside of Edinburgh. A great drive there as well. Let's talk about some stuff that's happening in the news this week. Many of you may have heard the story that Expedia is buying Orbitz for a serious amount of money. What do you think that means? I've been asked questions since the announcement was made of how will this impact consumers? Well, in order to answer that question, let's talk about the whole role of Expedia, Orbitz, and all the other OTAs, the online travel agencies. When those companies were started, and Orbitz was one of the first, if you remember, initially it was owned by a consortium of airlines. When it was started, it was really designed to go to airlines, hotels, cruise lines, et al., and sell their unsold inventory, with the philosophy being that an unsold airline seat, hotel room, or cruise ship berth was revenue they'd never recoup once the sun rose, the plane took off, or the ship sailed. And you know what? At a time when there was much more competition and much more excess inventory, they were right. It was a great idea. And then one by one, some of the hotels started looking around, and what they found was that companies like Expedia weren't just selling their excess inventory, they were selling all their inventory. And that was not well received by the hotels. At one point, Intercontinental Hotels actually threw Expedia out of the deal. They've since kissed and made up, of course, for all sorts of reasons, one of which is that there's excess capacity in the hotel business again, and they need all the help they can get. Well, there's not excess capacity in the airline business. One thing that's happened over the last 10 years is that with airline mergers, consolidations, and failures, the airlines have regained control of their capacity. And in the process, they've regained pricing control. And once you do that, do you really need an OTA selling your tickets? And the answer is not a definite no, but it is a qualified no. The answer being less and less. But the answer to the question, will the Orbitz and Expedia partnership have an impact on consumers? Well, of course, because what it really means It's an attempt by these OTAs to consolidate distribution. Why wouldn't you? And it's not really geared towards as much airline business as it is towards the hotel business. Because what we're seeing in the hotel business now, especially at the three-star level and with the impact of companies like Airbnb, is a complete dilution of available inventory into other distribution channels and platforms. 17% of the available room inventory in New York City right now is Airbnb. In San Francisco, it's 50%. These are not small numbers. And for mid-level hotels, I'm talking about the two- and three-star hotels, they've got a challenge because they're now suddenly in competition with Mrs. Schmidlap and her apartment, or Mr. Jones and his co-op, or Miss Smith and her high-rise, or her week-long, or her, you know, her beach rental. I mean, if you look at the listings on Airbnb, they're quite varied, ranging from apartments in New York to, they've even got 600 castles listed there, all alternates to hotels. So we're seeing a dramatic sea change in the available inventory in hotel rooms worldwide, of which Airbnb is certainly playing a part, but the OTAs may be even playing a bigger part as the mainline hotels are desperately trying to retain market share. So if this merger is allowed to go through, or I should say this purchase of Orbitz by Expedia, the regulators have to look long and hard at how distribution will change and how prices will be affected. You know, every time a bank merges with another bank, they always issue the same press release. It's sort of like they just, you know, fill in the blanks. And the press release always says, no branches will be affected and be business as usual. And that usually lasts for about a week. And next thing you know, branches are affected. A lot of branches close. And you're on your hands and knees praying to a kiosk. So it'll be interesting to see how this resolves, how it's finally, you know, ruled by the regulators. But if they get over those regulatory hurdles and the purchase is approved, they're not going to change the Orbitz name. Why would they? That's what they bought. They bought that market of Orbitz. And by the way, Orbitz is not the biggest player here. It's one of the smaller players. It's got about 8% of market share. But it's enough to be worth somebody buying them. That's exactly what just happened. So we will be covering this story to let you know what it means to you. But I'll tell you what it means to me, even if this purchase hadn't gone through or hadn't even been attempted. And that is, please don't forget the need, and this is an absolute need on your part, to have a conversation when you're booking your travels. Now, I'm not telling you not to research online. I'm not even telling you not to book online. But try to have a conversation with a human being before that ever happens, because the overriding myth, and by the way, it is a huge myth, and it's, of course, the fact that it's a myth means I got to debunk it, is that all the available inventory is online. Not even close. Only about 48 to 49% of it is. Which means that if you just go online to book your reservations, you're essentially disenfranchising yourself from about 50% of the available inventory that you didn't even...
Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Glen Eagles in Auchterarder, Scotland, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And I mentioned petergreenberg.com for another reason. You should go there every week to find our comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard and essential work all over the world. Places and opportunities where you can basically immerse yourself every time you travel and give back while you get back. It's just an amazing opportunity. And of course, we always try to spotlight the local opportunities, and Scotland is no exception. The Auchterarder Community Center right here is really great work that they do in the Perthshire community, and it all surrounds their great gardens here and landscaping. And you can be a volunteer for a day, for a week, for a couple of hours, and get out there and see exactly what they do and really help out to maintain those amazing gardens. And it's very easy to do. You just have to be 16 years of age or have parental supervision. And if you want more information, just go to volunteerscotland.net or check our website out for all the opportunities all around the world. You know, I've been coming to Glen Eagles since 1984. I'm not a golfer, but of course I appreciate what they have here, 850 acres of golf. But when I came here, I actually got an over and under. You know what an over and under is? It's a gun. And I got one of the ones that was made by one of the legendary manufacturers called Purdy. And they loaned it to me because the gun, I think, was at then $40,000. And I went out to the Jackie Stewart Sporting Clays. Now, many of you think of Jackie Stewart as a race car driver. Guess what? He was also an amazing marksman and Olympian. And the art of clay pigeons. And it's amazing. And I went to the store here and bought all the gear. So I looked like I looked the part, or people could laugh at me. I looked like a bad Sherlock Holmes. But you know what? I put the gun up there, and I actually started hitting these targets. I felt so good. Of course, 2 days later, my shoulder was hurting me for the next 3 weeks, but I did not care because that's the one kind of gunfire I support, and that's the sporting clays. It was great. But the other thing they have here, which most people don't know about till they get here, and then they're wowed by it, is their falconry school. And talk about an ancient art brought here. And joining me now, I was with him earlier today, if truth be told, out with some of his birds, the falconry instructor, Steve Burdett. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I mean, falconry in Glen Eagles, how did that happen?
Well, falconry has been around for a long, long time. We believe about 3,000 years, and it was brought over to the UK after the Crusades. The knights and went out in the Crusades and brought it back to the UK, and it became a very, very popular way of getting your dinner, basically.
So it wasn't really a sport. They were looking for dinner.
It was much more than a sport. It was one of the few ways you had, with the exception of running dogs or bows and arrows. That was one of the ways of catching your dinner.
And the falcons are, of course, birds of prey.
That's right. They're all raptors, all birds of prey.
Yep. Now, you have a number of them here. I was amazed. You have, 46 of them?
46 birds of prey of three or four different types, yes.
And yep. Give me the types. Because you have falcons, you have...
Hawks.
And eagles.
And we have... different types of eagles, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And they all have different functions.
They do. It depends what you want to hunt. It depends how you want to present a demonstration. It depends how you want to educate people as to what the birds did in the past and are still doing now. So, yeah, they all have different functions. Yeah.
Now, you say in the past and still doing now. Is there anybody left, other than obviously parts of the Gulf states, where some of your birds actually come from, but is there anybody out there who's actually using the falcons for dinner?
Yes, lots of people. I mean, I regularly eat rabbit, pheasant, duck, partridge, things that we catch here. Obviously, the birds get first call. They get fed first. But the whole purpose is to feed the humans.
So basically, if they're walking around Glen Eagles, they say, wow, we have a lot of rabbits missing. They go, oh, Steve.
That's right. Yeah, we get the blame for that. Yeah, that's right.
So what's amazing to me is, and I did not know this until you explained it to me, these birds have quite a long lifespan.
They do, and they tend to live a lot longer with us than they would in the wild. Because if you think about it, if you're living in the sort of confines of Glen Eagles, you've got no predators, you've got no competition.
You have brunch,
yeah. And you get a nice warm room with an ensuite bath and a heater in there. So it's very five-star. So they tend to reflect that, and they live a lot longer with us than they would in the wild.
So you train the birds to say things like, garçon.
Yeah, more wine here, sir.
Yeah. No, but first of all, their wingspans are amazing.
They vary a lot. I mean, generally, you can get a big golden eagle. We have a female golden eagle here called Fatty, Fatima to her friends, and she has a wingspan of over 8 feet. The one you saw this morning, Nigel, is the male golden eagle. He has a wingspan of 6 feet. So, yeah, down to the Harris Hawks, about 3.5 feet, and the little falcons, about 3 feet.
And until you actually see them in operation, you don't realize how fast they are.
They are. Some of the birds are obviously they're like people. They're different athletic capabilities, and some are designed for certain functions where you don't need speed. Some are all about speed. The peregrine falcon, for example, 200 plus miles an hour.
Stop right there. Say that again.
Peregrine falcon, the fastest recorded speed ever by a peregrine falcon is well over 200. I think it's 241 miles per hour in what we call the stoop, which is the vertical dive downwards attacking prey.
And of course, in that particular case, it's always a very good idea to get out of the dive.
That's right. Yeah. You don't want to be smashing.
Otherwise, you
on the
win
floor.
The speed record and you're splat.
That's right. Yeah. You don't live very long. That's right. Yeah. You need to think about what you're doing.
But when guests come here, I mean, what is their exact experience with the birds?
Well, originally, most people have no idea. They say, oh, we booked for the falcon, and they've no idea what that means.
They just ticked it off a box.
Yeah, it just looks like something that's, you know, it's a good idea.
We've never tried that. Come on, Harry, let's go see some birds.
Yeah, let's go see the birds. Yeah. And basically, what we try and do, we act as an education medium. We try and tell them all about the history. And one of the great things we do at Glen Eagles here is we try and get people involved. I've been doing this for a long time, nearly 20 years now. Every time I do a lesson, or an exhibition, a hunting trip, I ask people, what was the best thing? And they say, just having the bird on my hand. Just being up close and personal with a bird of prey. That's what people like to do.
And I need to tell everybody, and I say this from experience, When you want to talk about up close and personal with the bird in your hand, it is that up close and personal. You are, what, 6 inches away from their beak?
The beak could well be 6 inches away from your nose, yes. And everybody at first is backing away saying, will it peck me? Will it bite me? Well, of course, a hunting bird never uses its beak as a weapon. Its feet, its talons are the weapon, and the beak is simply a talking device or a knife and fork.
Knife and fork. And of course, if you've got the food, you're the friend of the bird.
That's right. The idea is that these birds are very, very intelligent. You let them go. They've got two choices. They're hungry. They've got two choices. Hunt for yourself or fly back to the nice man or lady with the glove on, which is easier. What would you do?
Of course.
They're very clever, these guys.
That's right. And they're so clever, in fact, that they almost do it by rote.
It's very much a routine thing. They're very intelligent. They're very, very quickly into the routine. And as you saw this morning, we put a glove on the guest's hand. The glove symbolizes to the bird that's where the food is. It's easier to fly back to the nice glove. You get a free piece of food. Not necessarily a big piece of food, but it's free and you have to do little to get it.
Well, you mentioned not a big piece of food because you weigh these birds every morning.
That's a very, very significant part of the falconer's art is to work with every individual bird and find out what we call their target weight, their flying weight. When, at what weight are they hungry? And the only way you can do this is to weigh them every day. We try and do it exactly the same time, maybe 8:30 every morning. And we find out that, for example, if you pick a bird like Mayday, who you saw this morning, at 1 pound 14.5 ounces, she's fit, strong, hungry. She will fly back to you if you offer her food. If she's 2 pound 4 ounces, she sits in a tree and falls asleep because she's too fat. She's not interested. And that's basically what you also have to bear in mind is that all these birds are individual, as you saw this morning. So some birds, you can give them lots and lots of food, but they won't put on as much weight as another bird. It's a bit like you've probably heard the lady say, it's you go straight to my hips, you know, like that. And birds are the same. Also, different kinds of food. If you have a nice, rich pheasant, that's going to put more weight on than a skinny rabbit, say, for example. And if the bird's been flying a lot in the cold, it was quite chilly this morning as we were flying, so the bird's working harder in the cold air. You have to give her more food to compensate for the energy she dispersed while she's flying.
And we're down, by the way, to just mere ounces here, aren't we?
Many years ago, I used to fly an American Kestrel called Elvis, and Elvis weighed 4.5 ounces. Okay, now if you're weighing something that small, you're weighing to grams almost, you know, quarter of an ounce, eighth of an ounce, because a big proportion of his weight could mean a difficult decision to him. It could mean that he gets sick. It could mean he's not as strong and healthy. He couldn't hunt as well. So if you're flying something like Nigel or Fatima, as we said, Fatima weighs 11.75 pounds, so the weight's less important.
Now you have hoods that come over their beaks and their eyes.
Not on all the birds. Most of the birds, the eagles, yes, and the falcons. The falcons are very nervous birds, so they're very highly strung. So the hood is a bit like a calming down device. It's a bit like the blinkers or the blinders on the horse. The Harris hawks, you notice we didn't put the hood on, and there is a reason for that, because Harris hawks are very laid back. Somebody once did a really good story to me. They said that the falcon is a bit like a South American or an Italian guy. He's very sort of blah, 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 and very very upbeat and very sort of manic, whereas your Harris hawk is a bit more like a Rastafarian or a Jamaican. It's like, no problem, everything's fine, so it's very relaxed. And so they don't get frightened so much, so we don't put the hoods on.
And of course,
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Glen Eagles in Scotland, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. We'll be doing that throughout the show. My next guest, fascinating book, and something that most of you never think about. And I've sort of thought about it, but never to the extent that he's done it. And great book read because it's about shipboard cuisine from ancient to modern times. It's Food at Sea. That's the name of the book. Food at Sea. And the author, Simon Spaulding. Hey, Simon.
Hey, good to talk with you.
You get on a ship. It's sort of like, you know, and there's the food, and if you're on a cruise ship. but you didn't just cover cruise ships. You covered all sorts of warships and cargo ships and passenger ships going back to the beginning of seafaring.
That's right, the Middle Stone Age. So as you say, you think about food, well, in the earlier periods, there's really three different approaches to food, and one of them is you bring it with you ready to eat, and that's what sea kayakers still do today. And that's probably what they did in the Stone Age and parts of the Bronze Age. And then by the time of Homer, there's people who are carrying cooking pots with them and going ashore periodically, which in the Mediterranean, there are lots of little islands, so you can do that. And then eventually they start actually cooking on board.
I know. So listen, but in the old days, if you're going back to the Middle Ages, if you did a BYO, that lasted about 3 hours and the food went rotten.
Well, yes, but by the Middle Ages, pilgrims traveling to the Holy Land, for example, through the Mediterranean, those ships had a cook and they had cooking facilities on board. They might seem kind of primitive by our standards, but they were able to cook their food. The preservation of the food is more of a challenge.
Well, how about this? How about the diversity of the menu back then? Not much.
Yeah, and even today, if you talk to anyone who, as opposed to a cruise, let's say, has done a sail training voyage offshore where they've been at sea for a few weeks, or I talk to people with various kinds of naval service, and almost everyone seems to agree, even with refrigeration and all of these modern facilities, after a while, the food may still be good, but the variety isn't quite what it was at the beginning of the trip or the patrol or whatever it was.
Sure. I learned something not too long ago about Navy food,
yes.
Because, you know, it's you got to keep on an aircraft carrier, you know, 6,000 men and women fed and fed well every day. That's 18,000 meals a day. 18,000
yes.
meals a day just on an aircraft carrier. But let me see if you get this one right, because I didn't get it right, Simon. Where will you find the best food in the Navy?
Now, I'm in dangerous waters there, because, of course, some people would disagree, but submarine cooks are very
absolutely
proud
correct.
Of the quality of the food in submarines.
Absolutely correct.
Feeling that they don't, you know, that people don't get fresh air and sunshine the way they do on surface ships. So I know that for quite a long time, in the United States Navy, there has been a real effort by submarine cooks to provide exceptional food.
And you know what? It's almost part of the deal now. It's not just that the cooks make the effort. The purchasing officers make the effort. They realize you're in a cramped aluminum cylinder 300 feet below the water level. And
yeah.
If you're going to go, if you're not eating well, you might just do something stupid, you know? I've been on patrol on those submarines. I've been submerged, and I have to tell you, the food was great.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. So
that's
where was
an experience
what were,
I haven't had. I've done a good deal of surface sailing, but I've never actually done a patrol underwater.
Now, in your experience, though, what was the biggest surprise where the food was exceptionally good, either historically or in current days?
Ooh, that's a challenge. I can say that the food was exceptionally good on board a Polish sail training vessel that I crossed the Atlantic on in 1992, and the next year made a Baltic trip. And part of that is due to an exceptionally good cook. Andrzej Przybyk was our cook, and he's a very hardworking, talented, motivated sea cook.
But tell me this. Don't tell me it was kielbasa at sea.
We did have kielbasa. In fact, we often made it into bigos, which is Polish hunter's stew, and all sorts of dishes I'd had. Although I'd been to Poland several times before, but in the course of a month of sailing, I had Polish dishes that I'd never had before.
Wow. Okay, that's a surprise. And the worst food experience at sea?
Well, I've heard people talk about terrible experiences, and they mostly revolve around spoilage, food spoilage. You know, if something happens that causes food to spoil, and that may mean that food has to be just thrown out, and then you're left with less quantity and less variety. But most of the horror stories I've heard about food at sea have concerned spoilage.
And of course, bottom line is, once that happens, there's no grocery store in the middle of the Atlantic, so you're stuck
that's
with what
right,
you got.
That's right.
You are
although
stuck
on
with
that transatlantic trip on Zawisza, China, we actually at one point hailed a Polish fishing vessel, and we brought them some mementos of our vessel, and they brought back lots of great fresh fish, which we had that night.
I love it. Simon Spaulding, the author of Food at Sea, Shipboard Cuisine from Ancient to Modern Times. Simon, thanks very much. Much appreciated. When we come back, speaking of food, two-star Michelin restaurant right here in Scotland. Surprise, surprise.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com.
Honey, you know that flight we were supposed to fly out on tomorrow? It's been canceled because of the weather.
This was supposed to be our dream vacation. How did we end up here in the emergency room?
Where's my luggage? The carousel is empty.
Got a travel insurance plan? If you do, you can be covered for trip cancellation due to a covered reason. Medical expenses, lost luggage, and more. Cover yourself today. Call your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com.
Coverage provided by TravelGuard Group, Inc., a licensed insurance producer. Coverage will be limited by the terms and conditions of the policy and may not be available in all states. Insurance underwritten by National Union Fire Insurance Company of Pittsburgh, PA.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
Let me tell you, the road is a much more relaxing place since I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance and started saving money. With that taken care of, now I can think about deep, important things. Like how come it's a pair of pants when there's only one of them? A real brain teaser. But hey, at least saving money with Geico Motorcycle is as easy as pie. What does that mean, anyway?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Don't miss Sprint's Cut Your Bill in Half event. Just bring your Verizon or AT&T bill and turn in your old phone, and we'll cut your rate plan in half. So if you're paying $260 a month for your family's four lines with Verizon, we'll cut it to $130. Or if you're paying $80 for yourself, we'll cut it to $40. Plus, we'll give you unlimited talk and text in the U.S. and match your data all on the Sprint network. The Cut Your Bill in Half event at Sprint. Bring us your Verizon or AT&T bill and turn in your old phone, and we'll cut your rate plan in half. Visit us at Sprint.com/half price or go to a Sprint store today. Limited time offer available when you choose a leasing option or Sprint Easy Pay. Subject to credit and valid consumer report. Discount applied to monthly voice, text, and data charges with a minimum $10 monthly rate charge. Excludes taxes, surcharges, add-ons, apps, premium content, international services, additional lines, and device charges. Other plans may receive prioritized bandwidth availability. To improve data experience for the majority of users, throughput may be limited, varied, or reduced on the network. Max of 10 lines per account. No cash back. Third-party marks are property of their respective owners. Restrictions apply.
Finally, there's a lightweight cat litter that doesn't act lightweight. It's new Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal Lightweight.
My name is Erin, and I'm a professional pet sitter. I deal with cat litter all day. Clump & Seal Lightweight is amazing on odor, it's super easy to carry, and there's absolutely no dust.
No other litter seals and destroys odor and is 50% lighter than our regular litter and 100% dust-free.
It changed how I feel about a lightweight litter. I would recommend it to my friends and my clients.
Get 7-day odor control and no dust in new Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal Lightweight.
If you become hospitalized while traveling, your freedom of choice can disappear, even if you have travel insurance. That's because most travel insurance will only get you to the closest hospital. To get to your home hospital, you need something more. You need MedJet Assist. MedJet will arrange air medical transport to your home country hospital of choice. All you pay is the membership fee. That's the power of a MedJet membership. Protect yourself today. Memberships start at $99. Visit MedJet.com to learn more. MedJet, we're not insurance. We're better.
This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Glen Eagles in Scotland, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know exactly what to do. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. I want to start out with my experience with what some people might have called many years ago an oxymoron, Scottish food. When I first came to Scotland, it was either here comes the haggis, or guess the age of the mystery meat pie in the rotisserie. Well, guess what? They've come a long way since then, and the food here is cutting edge. It is world class. It's a gastronomic experience that you should not miss. And my next guest is the personification of that, because listen to his background. I mean, he just didn't train in Scotland. No, he trained in France. And his restaurant became only one of 11 restaurants in the United Kingdom to be awarded not one, but two Michelin stars. You cannot mess with that. And his name is Andrew Fairley.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Glen Eagles in Scotland, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know exactly what to do. You email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. My next guest, you may have seen him in movies such as Pretty in Pink, St. Elmo's Fire, Less Than Zero, and of course, my two favorites, Weekend at Bernie's and Weekend at Bernie's See It Again. But he's also editor-at-large at National Geographic Traveler. He's written a book called The Longest Way Home, and he's a contributor to their newest book out at National Geographic, Journeys Home. Please welcome Andrew McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Hello. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so I hope you forgive me for mentioning Weekend at Bernie's, but I had to.
It's a classic.
It is. You know what the best part about it was? That everybody can remember, you know, the scene of him just sitting in the chair.
That movie has amazing legs. I can't believe that 25 years later we still talk about that movie. But, it has a very specific audience, too. And you're the perfect type for that movie.
Well, listen, here's the scary part. I related to it, okay? So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll leave that alone.
Either that or Animal House, and I'm in. You know, those are the two. In fact, I just saw Animal House again 2 weeks ago. It totally holds up. Totally.
It does. It's very, very funny. I saw it last year, and it's very, very funny.
But let's talk about, you know, your transition, if you will, or maybe your double life as just not just an actor and a director, but also as a travel writer. I love the title of your book, The Longest Way Home, because that's really the way I look at my own life. I'm always trying to find the longest way home, not because I don't want to go back there, but because I'm enjoying the journey along the way. But also the new book that National Geographic has come out with, Journeys Home. They both appeal to your instincts of taking that trip and enjoying and enjoying that journey, and it's not just going home.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is always teasing me that every article I write, I find home in it. But I do think, for me, I feel in a certain way more comfortable on the road than I do at home, and so there's something about that I think there's something in the going that is really a deeply comforting feeling to me, and I really feel like myself most when I'm out on the road like that, and it does feel most like home. Home to me is not usually a solid place, but more of a feeling.
And, you know, people are always asking me, where's your favorite place? And I have a chance, as you do, and probably I have a chance more than others, to really see the world, and I'm literally on a plane 2 to 3 days a week. So when people ask me what my favorite place is, they're always surprised when I tell them home.
Well, I have to say, wherever I go in the world, there's nothing like coming across the bridge back into Manhattan to be home. It's an amazing feeling. You know, that you have to leave to come home thing is very true.
Oh, it is so true. In fact, if I couldn't leave, I wouldn't stay home. I mean,
I'd go crazy. I would go crazy in New York if I couldn't leave it.
And yet we both love it. There you go. So tell me what you contributed on this particular book and why.
Yeah, this book came about because I was invited. I got an email one day out of the blue. I was invited to a McCarthy clan reunion in Ireland. And I just mentioned it to my editor at Nat Geo Traveler. I said, there might be a fun story in this. And then we said, you know, maybe there's a book in this. Why don't we get a bunch of people? And we got 25 people to go look for their roots. And so I missed the McCarthy clan reunion, but I did go back and search for my family roots in Ireland, because I'd gone to Ireland many, many times over the years. I'd probably been 20 times. My wife is Irish. We go all the time. But I'd never searched out my roots. I always thought I was down in County Cork, because many McCarthys are from Cork, and I just sort of assumed that's where I was from. And once I did my heritage search here, which was much easier than I thought it would be, it turned out I was from County Kerry, which you probably know, but many people might not know. It's sort of like growing up a Yankee fan your whole life and one day discovering you should have been rooting for the Boston Red Sox the whole time. So it's quite an adjustment to make. And And I went back, and I thought I'd walk the homeland, and apparently there was the ruin of the house that my great-great-grandfather had grown up in and left in 1850. And then when I arrived on the land, it turned out not only was the house still standing, but my second cousin was still living in the house. And so we had this giant reunion of all my cousins and distant cousins and second cousins once removed, and had a fantastic day.
And there was no drinking involved whatsoever?
No, it's Ireland, sir. There's none of that. No, there was a lot of tea and fairy cakes. That was all.
That's all you remember. What are you talking about?
No, it's amazing, though, because the Irish, they love their crack. I mean, the entertainment for the Irish, particularly, as you know, and particularly the Irish in the country, the entertainment is the talk. You know, and there was talking. All it was people chatting. There was no radio on. There was no TV. There was singing and people getting up to dance and just, sitting around the living room all day long.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that Ireland absolutely has in common with Scotland, and that is you don't need TV and you don't need radio. You just need a fire and somebody with something in their hand and talking, and that's it.
And that's what they do, and they do it so well. And if you're not a big talker, they kind of look at you funny. They always look at me funny as I sit there and just listen to them. They go, come on, lad, jump in here. But it's a great place. Ireland's one of those few places, in my mind, that is exactly like what you think it's going to be like.
I know, and you keep going back. It's also one of the places, I have to admit, where I sleep the best. It's the air. But bottom line is, get this book, Journeys Home, from National Geographic. One of the authors, Andrew McCarthy. And if you get really bored, go out and Netflix Weekend at Bernie's and get totally confused. Andrew McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate that.
Thanks.
And that music means we're out of time for this hour, but those stations sticking around, get ready. We got a whole lot more.
Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist.
Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world.
Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful March weekend wherever you happen to be. If you're just joining us, let me tell you where we happen to be. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 56 degrees, 16 minutes north, 3 degrees, 43 minutes west. We're coming to you from Auchterarder, Scotland. And the Glen Eagles Hotel, the legendary Glen Eagles Hotel, celebrating its 90th birthday, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. So much to talk about in this area of Scotland. I've been coming here since 1984. It's so many things that you can do other than just playing golf. They've got a Land Rover driving school here. They've got a school of falconry. They have lawn tennis. They have everything here. And the cool thing is, of course, all the distilleries. So repeat after me, designated driver, and then we'll be fine after that, especially if you like single malts. And we'll be talking about that, of course, later in the show. A couple of emails I want to get to right away. Here's one. From John Guzman. He goes, my wife and I are planning a trip to Chicago for the springtime, and we would like to hear your feedback in terms of which luxury hotels exist there that are worth staying at. After scouring many travel websites, we were hoping to get a reliable response. We'd like to stay somewhere central and preferably with a spa and restaurant included. Well, look, if you're looking for a total five-star in Chicago, of course you've got the Four Seasons. You've got the Peninsula, which is probably one of the best peninsulas they have. And then, of course, there's the Ritz. But let me give you some others that you may not know about. One of them is brand new. Virgin just opened one. It's not going to be as expensive as the others. And they have a new policy at the Virgin, which I like. You ready? No minibar charges. Everything in that minibar is free. Yay! So you can have your own special spa experience just raiding the minibar. The other one that's a real secret little hotel there, but it's a lovely hotel and great location, by the way, is the Whitehall. Check out the Whitehall in Chicago. You might be pleasantly surprised. One more email to get to, and that's from Jody Bazzetti. And it's about travel insurance, and it's a huge issue, and it keeps raising its ugly head here. So let's talk about this. She said, we booked a cruise with Viking Cruises for 2016, paid a deposit of $1,000 for the two of us, plus $1,458 for travel insurance, all paid to Viking. Due to illness, the trip was canceled in November 2014 before our final payment was due. We received a refund of $800 with a $200 penalty. We feel we should be refunded the amount of the travel insurance. When we questioned Viking what our refund would be if there was no travel insurance, we were told $800. Well, that sounds weird. Here's what I would suggest. And by the way, Viking does great cruises. They do great river cruises. But I say this, whether it's Viking or anybody else, when it comes to buying travel insurance, when you have a significant investment in the trip, and cruises certainly qualifies, you never buy the travel insurance from the travel provider. You buy it from a third-party insurance company. You can go through a travel agent or go through that third-party insurance company directly, but you need to do that because they will... The policy language in the insurance provided by the provider is usually not beneficial to you. We will check out your story and check with Viking directly to see what else we can do. But the bottom line is, my rule of thumb is always, with all due respect to all the companies out there, buy your travel insurance from a third-party provider or through a travel agent. And so Jody will check that into you a little bit later on. But as I said before, we're coming to you from Glen Eagles in Scotland. And if you're like me, you come to Scotland for a number of reasons. One, obviously, to breathe the air. I never sleep better than I sleep in Scotland. Or I should also say Ireland qualifies as well. You come to, especially at this time of the year, to sit by the fire and maybe have a glass of single malt. But then, of course, you also come to do one other thing, read a book. And my next guest has the best title ever because she's not just a library manager. She's the keeper of books. That's something that you are. And her name is Lara Haggerty. And the library's name is the Library of Inner Peffrey.
That's absolutely right, yes.
How many books are we talking about?
We've got 5,000 books at Inner Peffrey. Some of them are over 500 years old. So they've been there quite a long time.
And one of the things I noticed about your library, which, especially when you talk about old and rare books, is you actually let me touch them.
Absolutely. The library was put there in 1680. By the local landowner, you know, the only man who could afford books at that time. But he had a radical idea. He wanted to share them with the local people. So we try and keep that as close as we can today. We can't lend them anymore, I'm afraid.
Right.
Sorry. You can't take them home. But you can still use them. So you can sit all day and read the books or just turn a few pages to see what's in them.
And who keeps the library running? Is it all volunteer?
I'm the, as they say, as keeper, I'm one paid employee. And I've got, yes, I've got a fantastic team of volunteers. It's run by an independent trust, a charitable company. And they were actually set up when the founder of the library died. So they're as old as the library itself. They've got a fantastic name. They're called the Governors of the Inner Peffrey Mortification.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one to spell over the telephone, I can tell you.
But in your collection of 5,000 books, what would you say is the biggest surprise copy you have?
Oh, we've got books from all over the world. You would think it's a Scottish library, you would have Scottish books, but...
And you do.
We do, particularly as we were given an amazing gift a year and a half ago by an American collector who spent her whole life collecting Scottish books, and she gave them to us, which is marvellous. They've come home. But I suppose the surprise book is the Register of Borrowers. One of my predecessors thought it was a good idea to keep all these bits of paper, and thank goodness he did, because now I can show you every single person from 1747 right up till 1968, which is when we stopped lending, who came and who borrowed a book in their own handwriting.
Okay, so I have to ask the obvious question. Who's got the largest overdue charge?
Yes. Well, the library was always free.
Ah.
And even in the early days, they sometimes had a penalty if you didn't return a book. But it was an enormous penalty, you know, like a week or a month's wages. So, of course, everybody brought the books back.
More libraries should act that way.
Yes.
I love it. Now, you have a website?
We certainly do. innerpeffreylibrary.co.uk.
Do it again. Say it slower.
Sorry. It's a Scottish fate, isn't it? We go really, really fast. It's innerpeffreylibrary.co.uk.
travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the legendary Glen Eagles Hotel in Auchterarder, Scotland. Oh, Graham is telling me I got that one right. Okay, good. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. And another good reason to go to our website is for our comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard work all around the world. And in almost all cases, opportunities for you to immerse yourself in that work and volunteer every time you travel. And what you get back from what you give back is exponential in return. We always like to localize the opportunities. Of course, Scotland is no exception. And the Auchterarder Community Center right here, where we are in Glen Eagles, does just that, especially for the local community in terms of all the gardens that they have here, the beautiful gardens. You get to volunteer in the maintenance and the landscaping and learning about all the flora that is out here, which is just amazing. Let's face it, the Scottish in their gardens, and you get to be a part of it. It's just one of the things you can do when you're here. You can volunteer for a half a day or a whole day or even a week if you want. Check that out at volunteerscotland.net for many other opportunities. And, of course, our website, petergreenberg.com, for everything you do anywhere you travel where you get to give back. And if you've got kids over the age of 12, guess what? They get to bring you as well, a lifetime experience for them and you. Joining me now, a good friend of our show and maintaining a long family tradition when you hear this name, Fromer. She's the creator of the Pauline Fromer Travel Guides. And, of course, you all know her dad, the dean of all the travel writers and someone I still look up to every day, Arthur. Pauline, welcome to the show.
Hey, Peter. You know, I was the creator of the Pauline Fromer Guides, but I'm now the editorial director for all the Fromer Guides, and
well, excuse
the Pauline
me.
Fromers no longer exist. I tried to tell your producer that, but he lost the line before I could.
Not a problem, but I'm glad you corrected me. I always like to be stand corrected by you. Okay, so there you go. Hey, one of the things that's going on out there now, and I know you experience it as well, is the hotels that are probably taking their lead from the airlines with all the different ancillary fees and charges, an early checkout fee, the dreaded resort fee. We could spend hours just talking about the mini bar. But so many other fees that people aren't even expecting. And, you know, and there seems to be no end to it. We've also talked here on the show about, you know, Wi-Fi charges and how some hotels were almost in a draconian way trying to not only make you pay for it, but to block you from using your own devices.
Marriott got caught doing that. They got
sure
a big
did.
Fine from the FCC, so that's going to be done. But you know what's interesting? At least for the Wi-Fi charges, those seem to be going away. And I think it's because the hotels have caught on to the fact that if you're connected, they're going to be able to upsell you with a lot of different things. They're all coming out with these apps that if you decide to go along with it, will allow them to ping you when you're in their hotel. I'm sure you've discussed this. So, for example, if they get a cancellation at the spa, they're going to ping you and say, we know you love spas, we'll give you 50% off. If you're passing the bar and it's empty, they'll ping you and say, come on in, 2-for-1 drinks. So I think Wi-Fi is hopefully going the way of the dodo bird, but they're going to come up with more creative ones. Did you hear about the family in the Caribbean who were charged 150 night just for the right to have two connecting rooms?
No.
Yeah, that was in the Boston Globe. It was on top of their room fee. I thought that was just insidious.
Oh yeah, it's the worst. I mean, I will say this: when I checked into Glen Eagles today, of course, being the type A person that I am, the very first question I asked was, you know, how's the Wi-Fi here? And they said, oh, it's great, it's fast, and it's free. I went, okay, love the hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the number one thing that people want is they want Wi-Fi. They want to be connected to their homes.
They do. And you know, it's interesting because we have certain habits that are hard to kick. And one is, you know, we don't change our lifestyle when we change our location. We want to be able to log on the minute we get somewhere. So we don't want to miss. It's that fear of missing out.
Well, it's also a shame, though. It's interesting. I was at a panel with a bunch of folks who work for Hosteling International, and they were telling me that in the common rooms of the hostels 20 years ago, you know, young people from all over the world would meet and have friendships and cultural exchanges. And
now they don't even talk to each other.
Right. They're glued to their screen, which is a bit of a shame.
I know. There, you know, when I was growing up in New York City, there used to be 8 daily newspapers in New York. I can still name them, right? The World Telegram, the Journal America, the News, the Post, the Mirror, the Times, the Herald Tribune, and the Wall Street Journal. And my parents got all those papers every day. They were junkies. And the rule in my house was I could not come to the dinner table until I'd read those papers and had something interesting to say. Today,
wow,
we're happy if somebody shows up at the dinner table and puts their smartphone down long enough to see what they're eating.
Yeah, very true, very true. And it's you can't have conversations that doesn't involve somebody saying, oh, I'll look that up. No, let's just discuss it. I don't care if it's factually right or wrong.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But then here's the fun part. The fun part is, if you look at the word hospitality, part and parcel of that word and that definition really does include the word conversation, because in order to be hospitable, you have to get to know the person you're dealing with.
Absolutely, which is why I was kind of stunned to hear about that new, did you hear about that new Japanese hotel? It's called, the translation is The Strange Hotel, and their goal is for it to be all run by robots in the near future.
Yes.
But they're going to be partially run by robots, I think, now, and these robots look like human beings. And they check you in, and they clean your room, and I guess there's a porter robot. There still are human staff overseeing them, but, yeah, it doesn't seem like hospitality to me.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the tips are like. But, you know, what's interesting about that is you already have some hotels in the U.S. They have robotic butlers. There's a robot butler at one of the hotels, I think one of the Aloft hotels. There's on one of the Royal Caribbean cruise ships, they now have a robotic bartender, bartender. After a while, you know, it's the technology doesn't get big points with me if I can't engage somebody in a conversation.
Yeah, well, that's the crux of travel, is meeting other people. That's, you know, it's great to look at fabulous dead things that were created centuries ago and have lasted because they're so wonderful. Obviously, that's important. But to me, what you really remember from your travels, or what I do, are the locals who I met and spoke to and had a meaningful interchange with.
Well, I'll ask you this question and see how far we get with this one. And I ask this to all of our listeners, and that is, when was the last time you stayed at a hotel where you actually engaged the maid, the housekeeper, in a conversation? Not the concierge, not the general manager, not the front desk clerk, the maid. And the reason why I say that is because the maids are the most knowledgeable people in the hotel. They know everything. They see everything. They also live in the neighborhood, and they can tell you things that are not in the brochure or the guidebook, or that might not be on the rack of brochures down at the front desk, and yet nobody ever talks to them, and they're the saviors.
Well, you're the wrong person to be saying the maids or anybody will find the things that aren't in the guidebooks. That's one of my bugaboos. People always say, you won't find this in the guidebooks, but the truth is we have hundreds of pages to fill. So you're going to find a lot in guidebooks.
I wasn't directing that at you. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, setting that aside, I'm usually out during the day. I'm running all over the place doing research. So I don't think I've even seen a maid in ages. I'm usually, you know, gone as the sun comes up and don't come back again until it's time to hit the sack.
Well, how about this? If you really want to know what's going on inside the hotel, boy, do they know everything.
Oh, yeah.
They know
absolutely
everything. So just something about that. Hey, but the other thing I want to talk to you about when we come back is you know, we talk about all this technology, and we talk about the robots or the robot bartenders or this hotel that you mentioned in Japan, which is a little scary to me, the Strange Hotel. The name alone is great. But how are hotels now using technology to do things they never could do before? You mentioned big data and knowing what you want and what you don't want. And how much of that is an intrusion into our privacy beyond just the normal thinking of maybe that you like to go to Sarasota, Florida? You know, I went online once just to check out a flight to Des Moines, never took the flight. And for the last 3 years, every 3 days, somebody's giving me online, here are some great deals for Des Moines you'd like to know. I don't want to know about Des Moines ideas right now. I mean, it gets to be a little intrusive on that one. And then the big one I want to talk to you about is, you know, and I've done.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, we're speaking with Pauline Frommer here at Glen Eagles, the editorial director, creator, and all things Frommer Guides. Would that work?
I'm not the creator. That was my father.
I know.
Years ago.
Okay. I know. But it's still in the family.
Don't want to take credit from him.
No, we never take credit from him because he deserves a lot of the credit. My goodness. I mean, I remember the very first days of me as an up and coming little, you know, infant journalist, and he couldn't have been nicer to me and more helpful. So please give him my best. Hey,
wonderful. I will. He's still working full time. It's a family business once again, the Frommer Guides.
I know. It's amazing. Hey, let's talk about, you know, what people steal from hotels, because it's amazing. You know, people, they steal the ashtray. Yeah, well, maybe they steal the bathrobe. Okay, fine, I get that. But people have stolen grand pianos. People have stolen fireplaces. People have stolen. There was one guest that finally owned up to it and had a major guilt issue, and the hotel gets delivered to them a trunk weighing 400 pounds, and inside the trunk was service for 40. That guest had stayed at the hotel for maybe 20 years and always, like, you know, pilfered a knife or a fork or a spoon or a ladle or a pitcher, and finally collected service for 40 and then sent it all back to him. But now, you know, you're saying, Pauline, that there's technology that's allowing the hotels to track who's got what and where.
Yeah, there's a new company started by somebody who used to be in the hospitality industry who knew that something like 5 to 20% of the linens in a hotel go missing each month. My guess is it depends on the quality of the linens at the hotel. And so he has created a little tiny bug that he can put in, an electronic one, that he can put into the towels and that is washable, but that will ping if somebody tries to take it outside the hotel. And apparently a bunch of people have been caught in the lobbies with robes and towels and other linens in their bags. So be careful about stealing linens. My colleague Jason Cochran was just at the Consumer Electronics Show, and that was one of the top travel gadgets, actually. It's these Kennedy half-dollar size little trackers that you can put into anything, your luggage, your teenager, anything you want to track.
Your teenager.
You can put it on them. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's RFID technology, but, you know, it's interesting about the towels being spotted in the lobby. It makes for a rather embarrassing checkout procedure, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, especially if they catch you and grab you.
You know,
I'm hoping they take people to the back, but who knows?
They take people to the back with the whips and the chains. No, but you know, interestingly enough, a couple of years ago, what was the most iconic towel always stolen in America? Holiday Inn. Those green and white Holiday Inn towels. And they came up with a whole sort of a forgiveness program at Holiday Inn, and they asked me to get involved with it. And the reason why they asked me to get involved with it, because everybody who stole a towel, we were going to get them to talk about what they did with the towel and how they used the towel. And so we ended up doing a book, and all the money went to charity. It was called About the Towels We Forgive You. And it was everybody who'd ever stayed at a Holiday Inn talking about what they did with that green and white towel they stole. And it was hysterical. And so many people, some of these stories were like either inspirational, or some of them were like just heartbreaking. But the point is, that was that one towel. Almost everybody I know when I was in college ended up at some point in their life with a green and white Holiday Inn towel.
So, yeah, you know, I don't consider it stealing if you take the little bottles of shampoo. I think those are gifts from the hotels. But towels, very definitely. But I'm glad Holiday Inn forgave everyone.
Now, here's my question for you. What's the number one item that's stolen from hotels?
I'm assuming robes. That would be what I would assume, but I don't know for sure.
Nope. Not robes and not bath towels. And I'll give you another hint. When I've stayed at hotels, and the really upscale hotels that don't have bath towels but have bath sheets, you know, those where you can fit a family of five in that towel. I mean, I have actually gone to the hotel and went out and bought extra suitcases and bought five or six of them because they're, you can't get that kind of quality sometimes. It's so great. But no, those don't get stolen either. And the reason why those don't get stolen, same reason, by the way, the robes don't get stolen, is because people can't pack them in their suitcases. They're just too big.
So
the number one item, I'm going to tell you, the number one item stolen from hotels, washcloths.
Really?
And the reason why they steal the washcloths is because they use them to with their shoes or with a fragile item, and they're not stealing because they want a washcloth at home.
Right.
They're stealing
That's
because they just want to, they want protection. And,
well, you know, when you do want something that's in a hotel at home, I'm sure you've talked about this too.
Oh,
but
you can
a
buy
lot
it.
Of hotel, yeah, you can buy them, or you can use hotel points for them. A lot of us don't rack up enough points to ever really get a great free stay, and some of the hotels are now allowing you to use those points to buy things.
Well, listen, you know what? I my bed is from a hotel. And no, I didn't walk out with it. I bought it. And look what all the Westin hotels did with those heavenly beds, right?
Yeah.
You got it. Pauline Frommer, the director, the creative director. I'll give you every title you want of all the Frommer.
Director.
Thank you. Of all the Frommer's travel guides. Always a pleasure, Pauline. And please say hi to your dad for me.
I will. Thank you. Bye.
You got it. Back with more of with Glenn Eagles Hotel and Peter Greenberg Worldwide when we return.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com.
Honey, you know that flight we were supposed to fly out on tomorrow? It's been canceled because of the weather.
This was supposed to be our dream vacation. How did we end up here in the emergency room?
Where's my luggage? The carousel is empty.
Got a travel insurance plan? If you do, you can be covered for trip cancellation due to a covered reason. Medical expenses, lost luggage, and more. Cover yourself today. Call your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com.
Coverage provided by Travel Guard Group, Inc., a licensed insurance producer. Coverage will be limited by the terms and conditions of the policy and may not be available in all states. Insurance underwritten by National Union Fire Insurance Company of Pittsburgh, PA.
Don't miss Sprint's Cut Your Bill in Half event. Just bring your Verizon or AT&T bill and turn in your old phone, and we'll cut your rate plan in half. So if you're paying $260 a month for your family's four lines with Verizon, we'll cut it to $130. Or if you're paying $80 for yourself, we'll cut it to $40. Plus, we'll give you unlimited talk and text in the U.S. and match your data all on the Sprint network. The Cut Your Bill in Half event at Sprint. Bring us your Verizon or AT&T bill and turn in your old phone, and we'll cut your rate plan in half. Visit us at Sprint.com/halfprice or go to a Sprint store today. Limited time offer available when you choose a leasing option or Sprint Easy Pay. Subject to credit and valid consumer report. Discount applied to monthly voice, text, and data charges with a minimum $10 monthly rate charge. Excludes taxes, surcharges, add-ons, apps, premium content, international services, additional lines, and device charges. Other plans may receive prioritized bandwidth availability. To improve data experience for the majority of users, throughput may be limited, varied, or reduced on the network. Max of 10 lines per account. No cash back. Third-party marks are property of their respective owners. Restrictions apply.
Finally, there's a lightweight cat litter that doesn't act lightweight. It's new Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal Lightweight.
My name is Erin, and I'm a professional pet sitter. I deal with cat litter all day. Clump & Seal Lightweight is amazing on odor, it's super easy to carry, and there's absolutely no dust.
No other litter seals and destroys odor and is 50% lighter than our regular litter and 100% dust-free.
It changed how I feel about a lightweight litter. I would recommend it to my friends and my clients.
Get 7-day odor control and no dust in new Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal Lightweight.
Times are different than they were when GEICO started saving people money over 75 years ago. Everybody takes photos of their food nowadays. You can bet none of us kids would snap pictures of Mom's tuna casserole surprise. To this day, we don't know what the surprise was, nor do we want to. We didn't always have tasty food, but we always had great car insurance with GEICO.
GEICO, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
If you become hospitalized while traveling, your freedom of choice can disappear, even if you have travel insurance. That's because most travel insurance will only get you to the closest hospital. To get to your home hospital, you need something more. You need MedJet Assist. MedJet will arrange air medical transport to your home country hospital of choice. All you pay is the membership fee. That's the power of a MedJet membership. Protect yourself today. Memberships start at $99. Visit MedJet.com to learn more. MedJet, we're not insurance, we're better.
This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Glen Eagles in Perthshire in Scotland. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll answer it here right on the air. We're going to do that right now. Here's one from Cynthia Glasson, who writes, is there a reasonable explanation as to why, when planning to use American Airlines frequent flyer miles to the UK from Boston, that the after-booking flights fee would total over $725? At the same time, flights on many airlines, including AA, could be had for money with no miles involved. AA site gave no breakdown of fees, so I called the customer service folks, and they verified the fee is correct. Why can they charge such fees? Well, guess what? It's not just a fee. It's the draconian United Kingdom taxes that they charge you for flying out of the United Kingdom. Not for flying to the UK, but for flying out of it. So I tell all my friends, if they really want to have fun and save money and not get beaten up by those fees, that if you want to fly to any airport in the United Kingdom, it could be anywhere from, you know, London to...